Now, the rest of the story. Chet was dying. It had been a long illness. At last, the end was near. Tuesday, November 16, a remarkable resurgence of strength. Bedridden for weeks, Chet decided that morning to rise and dress and greet his two sisters. They reminisced for hours about childhood experiences. For the first time in a long time, Chet seemed happy. But then, at once, a strange and surprised expression came over his face, as though he had suddenly remembered something important. A secret something important. He summoned his son, Alan, and he said, "Boy, get me Jimmy Smith." Alan obeyed, and within the hour, Chet's longtime friend, Jimmy Smith, was standing in the parlor. Jimmy Smith had known Chet from the old days. Chet said, "We'd like to be alone." So his son, Alan, left the room. Had he not hesitated outside the doorway to listen, we might not even yet have learned the rest of the story. But he overheard Chet telling Jimmy, "I want all of my papers destroyed." And Jimmy seemed to understand. There was no astonishment at all in his voice when he asked, personal or otherwise, and Chet repeated, "All my papers." And he added that the task must not be put off. It must be finished before sundown. Three large garbage cans were brought into the house. As Chet supervised, Jimmy pulled stacks of documents from shelves and cabinets and file drawers. The papers were then heaped into the garbage cans, taken out of the house, and burned, all of them. Jimmy never glanced at the doomed documents. He just listened as Chet told him where to find them, tossed them into the cans, and disposed of them. Not even one of the documents did he examine. Nobody remembers how many can loads of papers were destroyed that afternoon. But eventually the job was done. And Chet and Jimmy Smith shook hands and parted and never saw each other again. Now, as I say, Chet's son, Alan, had been listening outside the door. And he had watched the subsequent proceedings. And he would never forget. But that night, Chet went to bed a happy man, and it was while he slept that the stroke struck. The cerebral hemorrhage was so massive that he never regained consciousness. He lingered a day, breathing his last as the first gray of light the following morning crept into the bedroom, and those who were there observed a gentle smile of resignation on Chet's face, and maybe this is why. Biographers ever since have been frustrated by the phenomenal lack of original source material relevant to Chet's life. The burning of his personal and official papers only hours before he died is the reason. A lot of secrets went up in smoke that autumn day of 1886, leaving the specter of untold indiscretion and perhaps corruption, because Chet had once confided that there were indeed many things in his political career of which he was not proud. And once he sternly advised his son never, ever to go into politics. A curious warning from Chester Alan Arthur, the 21st President of the United States. Now you know the rest of the story.